Hi everyone, I'm Rich from the UK and today I'm here with Yves from Belgium and we're going to have a nice discussion about hypes in the detailing industry and how they relate to Geon.
Ask me anything you want about the hypes, I'm happy to answer.
Have we got all day?
We have some time, so it will not be
cool.
A problem.
Well, let's get stuck into the big one then. It probably everyone expects us to talk about with hypes of the industry and being Geon coatings. Where do we even begin with this?
Well, what I like to say is some people have a lot of questions about, do we have a ceramic coating? Do we have a glass coating? Do we have a nano coating? Do we have, what are the differences?
You know? Sure, yeah, and for me that came out in the early days. I mean, first of all, we started out with hearing the term quartz, then we hear the term ceramic, and then from Asia comes the term glass, and then the Americans picked up on ceramic all the time, and it was backwards and forwards, and you think, what is it? But when you look at it, fundamentally, they're all the same.
All the same. It's
exactly.
And I don't have any problem with it by the fact that people change names. The only thing is it sometimes brings in confusion for the end customer.
Yeah.
And people start changing brand or product with no reason at all. And in the end, that's not the goal of making a proper product, to change for the change. You have to, if you change, that's why our philosophy is we will not make or change any product when it's hardly improvable or it's not only about the name, it's in the end it's always about the product
and what's in it and how it functions
exactly.
And so that leads me on, I mean, a good topic of conversation there is the way that silica-based coatings, if we want to call them that as the collective term, how they've evolved over the last 10 years in particular. You know, obviously we start out on a certain pathway, but then we get to the point where people start to infuse them with different things, claiming new benefits. And it seems like for me, every year, you know, you can count back and you can think, that was the year when, for example, like I remember 2018 and titanium was the big thing, titanium oxide, and then we had the silica carbide mentioned, and it seems to me it's hard to keep up with the next big hype that's coming up.
The 10H hardness, etc., etc. So, I mean, when you talk about coatings and infusion, titanium, we can even infuse gold, or we can infuse silver in any coating. If you want a gold-infused coating, it's very easy to make, but in the end, when you infuse 0.0, like Contador said, 0.00, in the product, what does it change in properties?
Yeah. Can it have any functionality?
Same with like titanium or carbon or whatever they say. Yeah, we use this in the cylinders of the engines because it's really hard. Yeah, might be, but it's not in that form that you put it on the paint.
No, exactly. So what's thick film versus extremely thin film?
What's the point?
Yeah.
Without having, I fully understand it, and I fully understand that people want some change, but in the end, I like to quote, I don't care if the cat is black or white, as long as it catches the mouse.
Exactly.
So if it doesn't catch the mouse, you can put anything in it, it's not helping.
Yeah.
And you will let down customers because they will have expectations that will not be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And in the end, as a brand, the goal is to have happy customers.
Exactly, yeah. I think it brings me back, actually, there's a quote that I really liked from Mike Phillips in America, when he said to people who were always asking him about how do I pick a coating, and you know, rule one is go with an established brand, because there you can assume that they've done their research, they've put their R&D hours in, and they're actually confident in their product, and it's gonna be a stable, consistent product. But the second part of his quote was, once you've done that, turn around in a circle, and that's the time it takes for a new hype and a new coating to hit the market. And that's brilliant for me, because I think that just sums it up perfectly. There's always the next thing out on the market, and there's then the next pitch, why this is so much better than the last version. But we have so much experience in the industry of that happens, and a year later.
Since 2015,
it's gone.
CIMA, I've been like, we have been as a company also, fighting is a big word, but the hype of 9H, you know, people thinking that it has anything to do with scratch resistance. People coming to the booth, is your coating 9H? It's not on the box. All our coatings are 9H, but we don't want to put it on the box because for us it doesn't make any difference in the performance of what you really expect from a coating.
Yeah.
So it's good that people choose this type of marketing. It's for us to explain that's not our philosophy. And then 2015, we got 2016, 17. every year we had the brand new game changer. You know? And I said, okay, let's see in 2017, and the game changer of 2016 was not existent anymore. It was the new one.
Exactly.
And so, like you said before, choose reliability, choose something that works. And if that for you, and if you as a customer like to try out a new product, for sure, why not? But in the end, it's on the long run that you have to see what keeps working.
Okay, so I guess the buzzword then we have to address, following on from this conversation for this year, the buzzword is graphene.
I'm gonna take a drink. I'm graphene.
So you have to, I've been looking myself and reading and following the various pieces of information. So from my perspective, my background, I mean, obviously coming in from many years as a reseller in the market, multi-brand, and then coming in as a distributor for Geon, and then still trying to keep pace with the wider market, it strikes me that we have a lot of comments out there from companies that are just obviously pushing their next product, fair enough. Then we have comments out there from independent reviewers, and some of them are truly independent, some of them are not, some of them are sponsored. And then we have comments from manufacturers out there as well. And for me, those are the ones that I'm placing kind of most faith in. And I just wonder what your perspective is. I mean, our viewers are obviously going to be wondering, I'm going to do a graphene coating, and where do we stand with that, and what's our thoughts at the moment?
For the moment, with the things that we know chemically, it's again, like I said, titanium and carbon, whatever. If we cannot, graphene is an amazing product. Graphene on its own, it's like 100 or 200 times stronger than steel. But like I said before, if you cannot make it in this form, acting on the paint, what's the point of? If tests show out that it's not doing what in the long run as a benefit for a customer, you can put another word on it, but will it help? Will it catch the mouse? Yeah. So in the form it's possible to do now, we are not gonna continue in graphene road, and I don't have any problems with people. If they think it's better, or if they think fine, but we as brand checked and did our research and tests, and we don't find anything that's that beneficial to
consistency, performance still remains the things to look for.
Exactly, there are far more important things in a coating than it's like a chef. You know, you have chefs, top chefs. We can both make mayonnaise, or we can both make tomato soup. I can pick the really good tomatoes and have the really good cream, and you can, not knowing or not respecting time, but we both have tomato soup, or we both have mayonnaise, but one will be better than the other. So I try to compare it with that. It's not only about the name.
Makes sense. I think we should also probably touch on then self-healing as well, because that's gone through it was a buzzword phase, and it's not a route that many manufacturers have gone down. And again, but it's a question that I'm asked regularly as a distributor now is, first of all, are we going to have a graphene coating? Secondly, are we going to have a self-healing coating?
Well, this is also a rabbit hole where, for example, for me personally, self-healing in a coating, it's like when you go really technical, I see people doing stuff. I did tests with our products. I'm not going to mention on paint what has been shown on whatever social media, YouTube, look, we heat up and blah, blah, blah. On some paints, if you just have no coating, you make a scratch and you heat it up, it will hide the scratches. Because you have a thermoplastic
expansion.
So it's, and then you have the expectations of customers paying top dollars for self-healing coating, and they expect it to be self-healing, if it's even self-healing, for the rest of their life. So now they can wash with a rough sponge, and it should self-heal, which is not the case. So when you really want something as protection, self-healing, I think the only way to go is PPF. And in PPF you have a plastic that has the possibility to have self-healing properties, and you have protection against stone chips. People sometimes tend to say that ceramic coatings are stone chip approved and everything, which is not the case as well. This is not even a hype, but we have our PPF, which is self-healing and has hydrophobic properties. So in that case, we choose to, that's the road to go.
Yeah, Okay, cool. One little thing, I think I don't want to spend too much time on this, but for me, we've seen a massive boom in the UK in the last few years with this, is PPF itself. Mm-hmm. And not such much as a hype, but definitely a trend. You know, mm-hmm. I think that many more new car owners now are realizing that this is the time where I definitely want to get something done to my car. You know, mm-hmm. I think the old days of people having an old used car and thinking I'm going to get it detailed, that seems to be passed. And we're now at the phase where people are making that decision when they purchase their new vehicle. How do I want to protect it? I think for me, it's still a personal choice between PPF or whether you want to actually have a car that you maintain more often yourself in a more intrinsic way. Do you find that as a trend, Europe, globally, with your brand and ambassador role? Or?
Well, I think it's for sure it's a different, completely different product, but it has its place on the market for different purposes. Mm-hmm. So as I said before, if you want stone chip protection, if you want a brand new car, daily driven, protected against stone chips, then it's the only way to go with PPF. Yeah. But those two products, PPF and coating, can go along very nice. For example, a lot of people tend to do, in where I live, to do like fronts and rockers, stone chip prone, and then do the rest of the car in ceramic coating for to match the self-healing properties and the hydrophobicity properties of the PPF, which are both in Protect Plus and in Enhance. So they have like equal self-cleaningness and hydrophobicity, but different purposes on different panels of the car.
Yeah.
For example, on older old-timers, old cellulose paint, I would never advise to put PPF on because when you pull it off,
the risk, it's hard enough anyway.
Yeah, the risk is higher. And so they both go next to each other, and choose wisely, you know. It's very personal as well. Some people, we have tried to make this PPF super, super clear. So I don't like it. I'm a paint kind of guy. I don't like distortion of paint. And we really try to go as good as possible when you add it, that you don't.
Or even improve factory orange peel.
So we try to do our best that way. And I think it goes along very nicely.
Cool. I think that's a really nice point that you've touched on there, really, is the importance, I think, for anybody that's interested in detailing, whether they're doing it themselves or whether they want to come and get professional services, is it's the importance of finding out what works for you and what's going to actually suit your lifestyle, your car, exactly. Your budget. Pick an established brand and then talk to them and find out actually how to best match their product to your needs.
Exactly. As I said, we both have two eyes. Doesn't mean we have the same view.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Yves, so the next thing I think we should pick up on then, following our great conversation about hypes, is actually now warranties in the marketplace for professionally applied coatings. A hot potato, I think.
When you talk about warranty, I try to give the example of, we both love cars, so without bashing products or brands, you have a Kia car. How many years of warranty has Kia?
7, the last time I checked, yeah.
Bentley?
Not sure, actually. What do you get on a Bentley these days?
Yes, you get, I think, 3 years warranty on
three.
A Bentley. 3 or 2, yeah. So, if from manufacturer point of view, which is the better car? So, the point is that warranty doesn't equal quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the industry, we have had, like, have seen people going to a certain brand because of they offering lifetime warranty, and in certain parts of the world, it has become a sales tool.
Absolutely,
and you are losing market whether the end customer knows or doesn't know or doesn't read any type any kind of the small letters in the warranty rules.
Yeah.
So that's why we attacking is a big word, but where we made our own warranty program, which is really emphasizes the fact that coating needs maintenance.
Yeah.
It's like with your car, when you buy a car, when you buy any car and you don't go for your regular service, you will lose your warranty.
Yeah.
But we wanted in the booklets that we made, the warranty cards, that for the end customer, it's clear. They don't have to look up and see, we had to register within whether it's 24 hours or 2 days. Otherwise, we already lost our warranty. And what do we warrant? And it's warranty about what? So we made this warranty booklet, which shows how to maintain his car, and really important in the warranty program. And we were, from the very beginning, on our certified coatings, we had warranty, which didn't state years, but it stated years, but also miles.
Yeah.
Because driving a daily driver 50,000 kilometers, even in, for example, Germany, or driving the same 50,000 kilometers in Norway, is a completely different impact on whatever you do. And then not even talking about maintenance. So we wanted to do it in a fair, honest, and very open way. So the customer has the freedom of choice to go whether he will do his maintenance himself or whether he wants to choose for a warranty program with several intervals yearly or mileage wise. So,
I mean, for me, I think the analogy you made there about car servicing and the importance of having to have that in order to keep your manufacturer's warranty, I think, you know, because we're in automotive, that's very, very relevant. It's the way we should have always thought about warranties for coatings. It makes total sense to me. And I remember the first car that I ever put a Mose onto back in the day, that would have been probably like 2013, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, and I put it onto our car and lovingly maintained it, you know, and at the end of a 24-month period, that car was still performing faultlessly. And for me, that was what, you know, I fell in love with Geon long before that. But for me, that cemented is this is the real deal. But then, you know, as a reseller, we had people who had done that to their cars and then came back and said, after 12 months, I'm not so happy, it's not working. And it's only when then you get into the conversation with them, how have you maintained it? How often do you do this? How often do you decontaminate? I mean, for me, that's the big one, is people forget that the minute that you get bonded contamination occurring, you know, on the lower panels of the car in particular, you lose all of the visual properties that keep the coating performing. And I think for me, that was the thing that cemented for me the importance then of this maintenance aspect to coatings. It's not a put it on and forget about it type system. No, it never has been.
And for sure, environment, because some people tend to, whether you do your coating yourself or you let a professional guy do it, but environment. You put a coating on and drive a car, for example, in Singapore, where you have massive high humidity, starts raining, and then 1 hour later we have 30 degrees of temperature.
Yep.
So you have to choose wisely then what to do or what coating to choose in that particular case and how to maintain that car. Difference in Norway, difference in Germany, Austria, where in winter snow, for example, Belgium, they use salt on the roads. Yeah. Russia, I've been to Russia.
Yeah.
Man, what they put salt doesn't even is sufficient to melt. So they put some reagents on the road, which are.
Yeah. Even, is that the sticky black kind of? Yeah,
it even I think decontaminates tarmac. You know, it's like it's that bad. So when a coating performs there with good maintenance, you actually know it will perform anywhere, and then it's up to how people maintain it and how it has been installed.
Yeah.
So those are two very important. Yeah.
I think for me as well, I mean, I think going from if you start to move into looking at things from a professional aspect, you know, if you put ourselves in the shoes of a certified detailer, I think for me it should give detailers in our network the confidence as well to really be able to push and stand by the product even more, because right from the start they can actually say to their customers, look, a coating is not a magic pill. It's not, you can't come here and see me once and I never see you for 5 years, and in that period you come back at any point with a phone call and say it's not working. I think it allows them to manage expectations properly from the start, you know, and promise something which they can utterly then deliver on, you know.
Where we put our effort these days highly is education. Educate people, even educate professionals, because this is crucial for any happy customer. So when you inform your customer properly what to expect and to exceed or to at least set his expectations is crucial for the long-term run of whether any company or any product.
Yeah, I think so as well. Good, okay. Anything else we should cover at the moment? Hypes?
Any other questions you have about warranties or specific UK related stuff?
No, warranties for the moment. I mean, honestly, the feedback that I've got from a lot of the detailers at the moment is it's really working well for them. They love having the pack and the ability to show the client up front exactly, okay, this is what we're going to put on the car. Mm-hmm. This is the warranty. This is the 10 rules of maintenance that we need to follow. And you're also going to have to come back and see me at this stage and at this stage for these treatments.
Yeah.
It's definitely made a big difference to those that have embraced it, I think, and are working with it and using it as an educational tool, just like you said.
Educational tool. We have tried to educate by using the videos and, first of all, the product videos, which were the first set, and now
we've got the Detailing Guru as well. Yeah, so we've got that now for our enthusiasts as well. So obviously we have our educational videos full stop, but now again, I think that's quite an important point there, is that sometimes for enthusiasts we may want a slightly different type of education to that which we would maybe talk to our certified detailers. We maybe need to put it into an easier language and a more...
And visual as well.
Visual, and maybe more, even a more practical setting. You know, a lot of enthusiasts don't have an indoor workspace, or they won't necessarily have the tools that the professional would have.
Yeah.
So the Detailing Guru series, I've enjoyed that a lot. It seems for you as well that you've had good fun making that.
It's sometimes harder than it looks, but I like to do it. And I do it very, like, there is no script. There is, like, just free flow.
Yep.
And see how things go. And it's actually how I like to do it. And of course, there is always things that people will comment on. But it's in the first place to give the very basics for people that are not yet into the whole detail or missing out some information, which are making them, let's say, unhappy is a big word, but are not satisfied with some things.
So. Yeah.
Small things can make a huge difference.
You know? I think in terms of their confidence level as well.
Absolutely.
You know, I feel like, I think, you know, the questions that come at us a lot, certainly when we used to be a reseller and a lot of our customers, but even as a distributor now, we still get a lot of emails just from general public, which is great. They want to engage with us and want to talk with us. And I think it's often that question, can I do this? Mm-hmm. You know, I see Eve doing the videos, and I see, you know, maybe like people like Craig at Staffordshire Car Care in the UK, and they do amazing work and they want to achieve that themselves, or at least try to, but it's that holding back and thinking, are these products actually friendly enough for me? And so, for me, that's where a series like the Detailing Guru...
User-friendly is super important for us.
Yep.
And of course, performance. And when we put all of this in a nice, attractive package with great support for whether you are an enthusiast or professional detailer, I think that's our main goal.
Yeah, cool. Good. Okay. Anything else we should touch on?
Coffee.
Definitely. I think so.
Let's grab one.
Let's go. Cool. Thank you very much.